was just talking with my friend who's selling her house about clearing out. And, you know, in the Yoga Sutra, there's a part which is this philosophical text of yoga, which is thought to be so old that it was originally passed down, you know, from teacher to student, so before, you know, before pens. Hello. We've just been on retreat together, that's why we're all a bit, like, we know each other very well. So, sitting next to the chef, yeah. I was sleeping.
Together.
Together with the chef. Sorry, let's be serious. Okay, serious tomorrow. So, yes, I want to talk to you about the yamas and niyamas. So this, the reason why I'm telling you that little bit of history about the Yoga Sutra, which some of you already know, is because, you know, I think it's really interesting that how it's very easy for us now, where we are now, to think that a lot of our kind of issues are because of what's happening right now. And, you know, did you already have things pop into your mind when I said that? You know, and don't get me wrong, because I don't mean that we're not, you know, of course we're going to be affected by things that are around us. This teaching in yoga is that there is the possibility of the yogi being free from distraction, and I feel that it's actually really quite wonderful for us to recognize that if you look at the Yoga Sutra, thousands of years old, this wisdom, that it applies now, and therefore people then had the same issues. So while it is very easy to blame, but I think that can be a problem in itself, don't you reckon? It's very easy to kind of believe our stories that we come up with, because we're so like dramatic in them as well. And you know, our stories, you know, we have our stories, and we actually have a physiological effect in us when we're telling ourselves certain things. Do you notice what I mean? It's in a similar way to if you go to a movie and you see what's going on, and you're just so like, you know, you could be crying, could be laughing, you know, you could be heart racing, you could have all kinds of physiological effects, but it's not real. It's like the finishes and it's over. You know, you can sort of still think about it afterwards. You might even talk about it afterwards, right? But do you get what I mean? Like, because we can have such like a literal, visceral experience based on stories and beliefs, that it can very much seem like therefore that is the truth. And you know, some of you know I'm writing a book with my teacher Al, and so I've got all these recordings of our conversations that I listen back to, which, by the way, I think it's really funny, like I was there, I did the recording, and sometimes I go, oh, that's a good point. I mean, I've already heard it, but I didn't hear it. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe I did even hear it, but I've lost it along the way. I don't know. But that's how we also are as well. So therefore, whenever we are making up our stories, it's always going to have all these missing parts anyway. It's never even going to be how it was. And our senses are limited by definition, but that's how we see the world. See? You see how I'm very visual, obviously. I keep saying, I say see a lot. But some people are more auditory, and they kind of like, oh, yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, so our senses are the way that we make sense of the world, but they are limited, because obviously you can't see beyond this wall, you can't see above that ceiling right now, but you know that there is more than that. So anyway, in one of these recordings with Al, he's talking about how it's he goes, you know, when you you say like about something, oh, you know, that they hurt my feelings, he goes, you know, that's just dumb. I'm thinking, how can I write that so that it sounds like not, you know, so harsh? But his point is that, you know, you're just clinging to a story. You're just clinging, you know, and that's, you know, for a yogi, that just doesn't even make sense, because it's really just in an attachment to a story to even be having that. Do you get me? It's very easy when you're not feeling like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not very empathic to say that to someone if they're feeling that way, but as a witness, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? And it's a similar thing to how, like, you know, like if you've ever, have you ever moved in with someone and you see all their stuff and you're like, oh, they got a lot of shit. I've got a lot of shit. You know, but to them, it's all so meaningful, right? Or has anyone, some of us can relate to this, anyone ever said to you, do you really need all those shoes? Did anyone ever hear that one before? Well, of course we do. But you know, yeah, you might have said that to someone else. So, but you know what I mean? Like, you can look at other people's things and they're just things because it is not all the story attached to it. There's not all the sentiment, you know. But wherever is that feeling anyway? It's in us. So anyway, my long story is because my friend was talking about moving house and the energy that comes from clearing out by necessity. Because, like, you've lived there for a long time. You really could have done it earlier, like all of us. But we generally don't you reckon? And sometimes, you know, like, because so the part of this part of the Yoga Sutra about the yamas and niyamas, it's referring to non-hoarding, you know. And so obviously it's easy to make sense of, you know, not hoarding, you know, like the shoes or not hoarding the stuff kind of thing. And it's also not hoarding those, you know, those beliefs and over-attachment to, often to blaming out. Have you ever noticed that? Or sometimes it's also can be directed to ourselves. And so there's this thing, this idea of practicing non-violence. But I find that really fascinating because it's recognizing that we can have a tendency to be violent, and therefore that's why we need to practice being not violent, which to me is kind of like facing up to the fact that we have this tendency to hoard stuff, right? And we have this tendency to be violent as well. And if unless we kind of own all of the kind of parts of ourselves and others, because it also, just even understanding this can help us to kind of also not take things so personally. Do you know, have you ever had that thing where you hear their story and you just go, whoa, well, no wonder, like if I was in your position, I would do the same thing. Right? Have you ever done that? You can switch from like extreme judgment to true compassion, you know? So you know what I'm saying. So anyway, just thought you might like to consider all of that, the idea of letting go, and really that's what, you know, in the beginning of the Yoga Sutra where it talks about yoga citta vritti nirodha, is that yoga is the cessation of the fluctuations of the mind, is one of the ways of putting it. Like, now is yoga. So it's in this in presence that you can experience what this yoga is, which is really this, it's like uniting the opposites. It's drawing yourself into center so that you actually go beyond all of the duality, which is what, you know, which blame and, you know, is part of, which, you know, the idea of these different, all of those kind of like different sides of the same coin, like fame and ill repute and all of those, you know, praise and criticism, all of that stuff, that all of that currency is just simply not really of any value. So that you can actually go beyond that into what's referred to as no thing. So that's really what all the practices are for. So really, the other thing I'll say is the goal of yoga is yoga. Oh no, you can see we're home. So, let us begin. Just let's close your eyes. If you want, if you don't have to, you can always just look at the ground in front of you, but it's just this idea of just letting your senses rest. Oh, I think it's funny, you know, like, it's not really that funny if you ever feel like you're burnt out. It's kind of like no fun at all. But, you know, a very simple way to help us to not feel burnt out is just to rest our senses. Let your tongue rest in your mouth. Feel as if you can kind of just soften around your ears, your face, your cheeks, your forehead. So you can kind of just let your eyes rest back. As you let your hands relax and feel into your 2 feet, and let yourself adjust if you need to, so that you can sense into your 2 feet equally, evenly. As you just kind of let yourself settle in, like exploring your center. Sometimes you notice that your breathing just naturally changes, and for some of us, you know, if we've been a bit kind of rushing uptight, sometimes we have a little ha, sigh, a breath out, a release. And some of us, maybe if we've been maybe a little kind of, you know, slow or stuck, not kind of in our freedom of energy, some of us find we want to take a deeper breath in. So it's nice to just kind of let to know, you know. Another idea is that yoga means homeostasis, that this natural kind of desire of wholeness, of rewriting, of like just recentering, regaining. It's inherent. And the understanding that the life force, prana, is carried on your breath. And so as we just sit here for about another 3 breaths or so, can you just notice where you feel your breath right now? Bring your palms together at your chest and set your intention. And just as you feel your palms touching, let this mudra help you to have this sense of center, sense of joining the opposites. Self, to experience oneness, that singularity. And we'll join together for one. Om.